The series that we're on, Romans 15, I think I gave you that. That's our main text tonight that we'll be at. The series that we're on, if you have the notes there, is Treasures of Darkness. And as we've been doing, this is lesson number 4. As we've been doing every lesson, I've been reading through the goals for the series. But here are the 4 goals. This will be the 4th time you've heard these. And again, the objective is, by the end of this series, that hopefully some of these goals, especially these first 4, will be ingrained into the fiber of our minds, and we can meditate on them beyond this series. Number 1, to find the treasures of darkness that God has for us during difficult times in life. 2, to understand that our great comfort is the presence of God, not the absence of what? Trouble. Presence of God is our great comfort. That doesn't mean that we will be without trouble, but knowing that God is with us is great, greatly comforting. Number 3, to see God allows things in our lives to prepare us to be what He desires for us to be. That, you know, that's a challenging one, because many times we are set in our ways, so to speak, and we think we have it all figured out. But if we would yield to the Lord, God has so much more in store for you and for me, that if we would yield to Him and allow Him to have His will and way in our life, and don't be like Jeremiah said. He said, does the clay say to the potter, you know, make me like this and do this? It doesn't work that way. And we are clay, and God is our loving potter, molding us and making us. And then the last one, to trust the Lord during days of darkness, knowing that God has a perfect understanding of the past, the present, and the future. Those are the 4 main goals for this series. Now, tonight, we're looking at the key verse, is Romans 15:4, and here are tonight's aims. So these are 5 aims for tonight. Number 1, to realize that we need the Word of God, and we need the patience and comfort that it alone provides. The Word of God provides patience and comfort. Number 2, we must learn that we must ask, we must ask God by His Spirit to give us understanding as we read His Word. One of the verses in our Bible that you have there, your Bible says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And so we're asking God, give us understanding as we read your word, that it's not just black letters or red letters in some cases on white paper, that we understand what we're reading. Number 3, to show that our lives as Christians should be characterized by patience and comfort, not frustration and worry. We won't ask for a raise of hands, but I think most of us in here have experienced frustration and worry quite often. But God says, I don't intend for you to live that way as a Christian. I intend for you to live with patience and comfort. And I don't know. I know I need more patience in my life. I don't know. We won't have a raise of hands. To have a right attitude. Number 4, to have a right attitude toward God, patiently trust Him with every need we have in life. I know many of you tonight have come into this room and you have a need. You might even have a list of needs. And by the way, just a need isn't always, you know, I need $500. Now, maybe you do need $500. Maybe you have a financial need. But that isn't the only needs that we have in life. I think we're aware of that. But God is not bound by any of your needs or mine, depending on how small or big they are. By the way, God is very much concerned about what you and I consider the small needs as much as He is the ginormous needs, if God thinks of it that way. He doesn't actually, but we do. So God is concerned when a sparrow falls to the ground. God is concerned about meeting your need and my needs as well. Then lastly, to abound in hope, even in the midst of difficult times, knowing that our hope is in the Lord and in the promises of His Word. All right, here we are tonight, lesson number 4, the patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Romans 15:1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. I'm going to pray one more time. Heavenly Father, thank you for what we've heard thus far in the introduction. I pray that you would guide us as we move our way through this lesson tonight. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would be the teacher and that we would apply the things that you teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a book tonight in our hands. We call it, it can be called several names. It can be called the Word of God. It can be called the Scriptures. It can be called the Bible. These are titles that are given to this. There's the first five books. Somebody might call them the Torah, and that would be fine. But we have the completed Word of God. It comes in two testaments. We have the Old Testament and we have the New Testament. 39 books in the Old and 27 books in the New. This book that I have in my hand is inspired. There's no other book like it. The Old Testament is inspired. The New Testament is inspired. It is infallible. That means it is without error. So I'm holding in my hand a book that is God-breathed. And I'm holding in my hand a book that is without error. It is infallible. And so when we consider all of these things in life, it is so important that we have a daily relationship with the Word of God. That, what does this mean? It means a daily time that we not only read the Bible, but we meditate on the Bible. We memorize the Bible. We ask God to teach us what we're reading and show us something from what we're reading from. So the Word of God is powerful, it is inspired, it is without error. We notice in the first four, which is the theme verse of this lesson, the words patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Patience and comfort of the Scriptures. E.J. Young said this, "The Scriptures possess the quality of freedom from error. They are exempt from the liability to mistake, incapable of error." So if we have that, and we do, and it says of itself right here, Paul being the human penman of Romans, writing to the Christians that were at Rome, he says here under the inspiration of God that this book that we have that we're talking about tonight, it is the book that will help us with our patience and with our comfort. If that be the case, and I truly believe it is, or I would not be sitting here speaking tonight, then we ought to make sure that we are in this book, as I said, and we are putting this book in us. We are sharing this book with other people because this is the resource for the Christian life. This is the owner's manual. Maybe you have an owner's manual for your car, or maybe you have an owner's manual for something in your home. This is the manual. Basic instructions before leaving earth, the Bible. This is what God has given you. This is what God has given me. In this case, we're looking at helping us with our patience as well as our comfort. Notice that word aforetime, verse number four, aforetime. This is referring specifically in this case to the writings of the Old Testament. The writings of the Old Testament. So let me remind you tonight that the Old Testament books are not archaic and that we don't learn from them. They are part of what God put in the Bible, 39 books in the Old Testament. They have great value and great worth for you and for me. But these were written aforetime. And notice what it says here about them. They were written for our learning. Our learning. Would you go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10? So one book to the right is 1 Corinthians. Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Hold your place. We'll go right back to Romans 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. Okay? That's not the 2025 cloud, okay? that all of your information is stored in. It's a little different one than that. And all passed through the sea. So this is talking about the nation of Israel when they went through the Red Sea. So he's writing about something that was obviously in the past. Verse 2, we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, did all eat the same spiritual meat, did all drink the same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock. Notice the capital R, it followed them. That followed them, that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now notice what he says here. Now these things were our what? Examples. You know, there are definitely passages in the Bible that are examples that we do not want to repeat. They're there, they're inspired. God put them there, not for you and I to look at them and say, oh, I think I'm going to try that. No. They're there for our examples what not to do. Okay? Then there are plenty of other examples that God put in the Bible as well of things that we should do. But they are there in this case for our examples. Notice, to the intent, we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. That word lust there has to do with having a desire. So Paul is saying, if you go back and you read about how the nation of Israel, unfortunately, they had a desire for things that were wrong, and they even said, you know, oh, man, you should not have, Moses and Joshua, you know, you should not have led us out of Egypt. I mean, we could be enjoying some delicious cuisine right now if we would only be back in Egypt. And they were only concerned about their physical desires, not their spiritual desires. And Paul says here, this is not the example to follow. In fact, he says it right there, we should not. So they were put there in the Old Testament, in this case, aforetime, just like in Romans 15. In this case, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, that these examples were for us that we would learn from them what not to do. When we read the Bible, what we read in the Bible is not unrelated to what we deal with in 2025. It is not unrelated to what we deal with in 2025. God says here, I have given you an example, and everyone here tonight, myself included, we need the Scriptures to help us. We need the Scriptures to help us in this life that we live. The Word of God is timeless. The Word of God is timeless. It doesn't lose power as time goes on. It's all powerful regardless of what year it is, who the politicians are for that year or that time period, or what the economy is like. None of these things matter when it comes to the power of the Word of God and the importance of the patience and comfort of the Scriptures. And we need that. I need that in my life, and I'm sure you do. Let's look at three things quickly from our Bible reading tonight. Number one is the way we learn. The way we learn. There is no other writing, as we've said, like the Word of God. Romans 15:4 tells us that it was written that we might have learning. Notice that, if you will, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Were written for our learning. Learning. Kids go to school to learn. Back in the day, it used to be basic things. Sadly, they're learning things they don't need to learn in 2025. But it used to be just about math, writing, science, arithmetic, and so forth, and all these things. But when it comes to our walk with the Lord and our life, the Bible is our source of learning. The Bible is our source of learning. It is God's Word that teaches us, and we want to read it with eyes of understanding. And this is where we need God's help. The Spirit of God, if you're saved, the Spirit of God is in you. And the Spirit of God is the penman of the Bible. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Spirit of God told Paul to write this, and the same Spirit that told Paul to write this lives in me. And if you're saved, lives in you. Right? The Spirit of God is God, so that means he's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere at all times. So he's in you as much as he's in me. And really, the key to the Christian life is not even, I mean, it's, yes, recognizing that as a biblical principle, but it's not how much of the Holy Spirit do I have, it's how much does the Holy Spirit have of me. Because when I got saved, and when you got saved, you got all of the Holy Spirit. You received all of the Holy Spirit. You don't get more of the Holy Spirit later on down the road. All right? You got all of the Holy Spirit the moment you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and called on Him for salvation. From that point on, you had the Holy Spirit, all of the Holy Spirit. But what is needed is for you and for me to surrender me to the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul said, to be filled with the Spirit. That's to be controlled by the Spirit. And this Holy Spirit is who will help us with our learning of the Scriptures. When you read the great events and stories of the Bible, you do not read them just for the sake of repeating them, although we can. We read them to gain understanding of what these mean in my life today. You know, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. You may sit down and read a book of the Bible, and I may sit down and read the book of the Bible, or a chapter of the Bible, maybe. And we might take a pen and paper, and we might write down how God spoke to us from that chapter. And then we might compare our notes. And guess what might happen? We might have completely different things on the paper. Do you know why? Again, this is a book. This book is alive. This book is not like any other book at the library. And because you have God in you and I have God in me, God is speaking to me in how I need. Now, there's one primary application for all of this, but there's many secondary applications that can be made in our life. And we might compare our notes and might see, wow, I didn't see that. And you might look at mine and you might say, I didn't see that. But that's because that's how the Holy Spirit taught me when I read that chapter. That's how the Holy Spirit taught you when you read that chapter, that we might have learning, Paul said. If you don't read this book, don't expect to learn how to live the Christian life. It is not going to come by osmosis. It's not going to come by just watching YouTube preachers. Nothing wrong with finding a good, solid Bible preacher online, but that doesn't replace your time in the Word of God. That doesn't replace you opening up this book and letting God teach you from the Word of God. Remember when Philip ran into the Ethiopian eunuch? Do you remember what he asked him? He said, understandest thou, in the King James English, he said, understandest thou what thou readest? The Ethiopian eunuch was reading Isaiah, and he really didn't understand. He needed somebody to explain it a little bit, and he did. He needed to know that he wasn't just reading about a prophet. He was reading about the Son of God. From the Old Testament, even. How about that? And Isaiah gives us much about that. We need to learn the Scriptures. What greater thing can we learn than the Word of God? Would you go with me to Proverbs 4, about the middle of your Bible, Proverbs chapter 4. The way we learn, the way we learn. If you're a newer Christian here tonight, if you're a teenage Christian here tonight, if you're an older Christian here tonight, the way you learn is the same way. You've got to open the Bible. And then, not only that, you've got to say, God, I want to learn this book. Teach me this book. Believe me, that is a prayer request that is not going to be denied. It's not going to be denied. If you want to learn this book and you ask God to help you learn this book, God will help you learn this book. I haven't been pastoring that long. Many people have pastored a lot longer than me. But I can tell you this, for the most part, the people that do something for the Lord, and it's not because they're anything, because none of us are anything. We are all sinners saved by grace. We are finite, He is infinite. And we all struggle, and we all go through challenging, difficult times, and we all fall flat on our face. I don't know whoever the greatest Christian is in this room, he or she will fall flat on their face. It's going to happen. But a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. But let me get to my point. My point is, if you do not have a relationship with this book, you're not going to be able to walk with God in a way that God wants you to walk with him and have any type of bringing glory to God in your life. And if you're saved, you will want to bring glory to God. If you're not saved, it won't matter to you. By the way, you can come to church for 30 years and not be saved. 10 years, 5 years. Coming to church, walking in the doors of a church that has never saved one person. And so when we genuinely are born again of the Spirit of God, there will be a desire to bring God glory. There will be a desire to open the Bible up. Now Satan, I'm telling you, Satan is the biggest liar of all time. And he wants to distract every believer in this room tonight from opening up the Bible tomorrow. He will put everything in your way to keep you. First off, he will say, you have to study for your test. You don't have time to read the Bible. I'm taking a master's class at 52. Believe me, that intimidates me every week. I'm on week 3 tomorrow. And you know what? If I'm not careful, I have to put a lot of time into that. And if I'm not careful, something else that I really need to be doing, it's just called reading the Bible, not for sermons, for my own food, spiritually. You know, there's a lot of excuses that are good. Satan is the master of deception. He will use good things to keep you from the best thing. He will use good things to keep me from the best thing. And there's nothing better on the list for learning than reading the Bible and meditating on it and thinking about it. So really, we've got to guard that. We've got to guard that. Proverbs 4. Sorry. That was a long rabbit trail. Time to hop back to the point here. Proverbs 4, verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she shall deliver to thee. This is found in the Word of God. It is the wisdom book. Proverbs, we might say, is the wisdom book. Turn back to Job 28, please. Job 28. And Job 28, 28. I'm going to begin reading. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. I bring you these verses of Scripture because this is learning. When we read these, we're learning. We're learning the importance of wisdom. Wisdom is not obtained by in any scholastic setting. Wisdom is only obtained by God. Now, we need to get all the learning we can. There's nothing wrong with learning and knowledge. But we need greater than those things is wisdom. We need wisdom the most, and wisdom will help us to keep us from doing evil because it's not my thinking, it's the wisdom is from above, and we need that. So that's the way we learn. Secondly, we see the way we live from Romans 15:4, the way we live, and that is those two words, patience and comfort. This is the way that we should live our lives, these two words, patience and comfort. Many times our lives could be defined by the following words, frustration, frustration, worry, as we said earlier, stress. Nobody in here knows anything about stress, so we'll just move on. No, we all do. Because when we don't have patience and comfort from the Scriptures, doesn't mean these things are not going to come to us, but what it means is when they do come, we'll be ready. And it's not that we're ready and we're smart. It's that the Word of God is powerful. And the Word of God, when we meditate on the Word of God, when that worry starts to come in, the Word of God pushes that worry out. When that fear starts to come in, the Word of God pushes fear out, because God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we can have a sound mind even when everything around us is collapsing. The way that happens is through patience and comfort of the Scriptures. This is the way we live. They only come through the Word of God. Would you go to James 5, please, in the New Testament? A little further toward the back from Romans. It's after Hebrews. This morning we were in the book before Hebrews, Philemon. So this is the book right after Hebrews. James chapter 5, verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. Have you heard of the patience of Job? And have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Obviously, this word pitiful can be taken various ways, even within the English language. And this one has more to do with the idea of compassion. Jesus looked on the multitudes. The Bible says that he had compassion because they were sheep without a shepherd. When we think of the patience of Job here, he patiently persevered. And that was the only way he could live in the midst of what God was allowing to come into his life. And we're still reading about him today. The oldest book in your Bible is the book of Job. Meditating on the Word of God, as we said earlier, drives away worry and fear. These are words I've listed many times in the last few years, but by staying in the Word of God, it teaches us to stop trying and start trusting. Everybody in here, I'm sure, in some capacity, you've tried in an area that you're maybe is a burden tonight, and that you need patience and comfort. And I want to encourage you that trying is not going to get it done. But trusting will. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I'm so thankful that many of you have testimonies. I see you nodding your head. By the way, you don't have to do that, but that's helpful sometimes for the preacher. Doesn't mean you have to always be nodding your head. Okay, sometimes you're nodding your head because, it's actually right now 7:47. And that's why I'm about to nod my head. I was sitting down here before church started, and it's 5:55, and I'm thinking, why am I so tired? Because it's 6:55. I should have went to bed earlier last night and not depended on that 1 hour extra. I didn't stay up that late. But anyway, sometimes that's when people are nodding their head. We don't need that kind of nodding, okay? Oh, boy. But you're nodding your head because you know that, yes, God is good. You also know that trials are real. And they hurt. And sometimes they leave a sting that never goes away fully. I don't mean to be doom and gloom, but you might as well, hey, we're just family, all right? And sometimes the things that come into your life and mine, God gives us the grace, but, Paul never got healed. But he got grace. Again, where do we learn this from? The Scripture. We could be reading down through and we could read that verse and we could say, oh, wow, the great Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. God did not answer his prayer. Oh, yes, he did answer his prayer, by the way. He just didn't answer it how Paul wanted it answered. But he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. We find that in the Word of God. So let's be aware of those words. Less trying and more trusting. Less trying and more trusting. Trust leads to comfort. Comfort leads to peace. Trust leads to comfort. Comfort leads to peace. We can try to fight our way through, or we can try to faith our way through. Which one will you choose? Hey, I'll be honest with you. I'm definitely guilty of being wanting to fight. And yes, there's times that, you know, Paul said, I have fought a good fight, okay? That's a different fight. Doesn't mean it's wrong to fight, but there's times when God is saying, Ben, I don't want you to fight. I want you to yield. And by fighting, you're only making it worse. So the Bible says in James that if we humble ourselves, God will exalt us in due time. We're all learning, folks. We're all learning. None of us have come, and we're not all experts on anything. Hopefully we're an expert on, we know that God is faithful and that this book is powerful. So we're learning. We're learning. That's what he's talking about here tonight. So the way that we learn. The way that we learn. The way that we live. And lastly, the way that we look. This is not talking about a suit of clothes. Not that kind of look. But the way that we look, perception-wise. We go back to our text. At the end of verse 4, he said, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So we look at all these things. Okay? And we look at them with hope. Look at verse number 8 of our text. Romans 15, 8, if you'd follow along. We're almost done with the lesson. Get into the baptism here in just a couple minutes. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to conform the promises made unto the fathers, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. Who do you think that root of Jesse might be? Not might be, is. That's the Lord Jesus. Now the God of hope, verse 13, now the God of hope, the God of hope, that's something to really think about, maybe underline it, fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope. The God of hope wants you to abound in hope. The God of hope wants me to abound in hope, meaning there's plenty of it. When we abound in something, it means we're not running out at all. Notice, through the power of the Holy Ghost. So we come right back to the fact that when we got saved, we got indwelt by the Spirit of God who gives us the learning and helps us to understand. Also, the Holy Spirit is our seal, by the way. The Holy Spirit is our seal. It's why I know that you cannot lose your salvation, because you are sealed by the Spirit of God. You did not get saved by anything of your own merit. Therefore, you cannot lose your salvation by anything that you do that's not right. It doesn't mean we want to live like Romans, what is it, Romans 6? What shall we then say to these? Or no, Romans chapter 6. Let me, I just went to another verse. What shall we then say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So no, it's not a license to sin, but the Holy Spirit of God is our seal. He's our earnest. He's our down payment. That I know that I have the Holy Spirit so that when I die, I will be absent from the body, present with the Lord. But this Holy Spirit, God, the third part of the Godhead, if you will, author of the Bible, is also the instigator of this abounding hope that we have in our life. You can never look at life the right way without filling your life with the Word of God. In other words, this should be how we look through life. Okay? We look through life with Bible glasses. I can't think of something else to say, right? Some people say you've got rose-colored view, right? Everything just looks rosy all the time. Okay, fine. I want to call it that, but biblical vision, the way that we look. It can be the worst day of your life. It can be the worst day of my life. It can be the most difficult day of my life. It can be the most difficult day of your life. But if you look at it through the Word of God, you will have patience and you will have comfort through the Scripture. This is why we can have even joy in the most challenging of times. But if we look at it through our own view, worry is coming very quickly. This is why we have to be in the Word of God. We can abound in hope because our hope is in the Lord. By the way, just food for thought, we're not going to turn to all these. Romans 15:9, we just read it, quotes from Psalm 18:49. If you want to jot these down, remember it said, earlier it said, these things that were written aforetime. Romans 15:9 quotes from Psalm 18:49. Romans 15:10 quotes from Deuteronomy 32:43. So remember, Paul was saying that the Old Testament was written for our learning. Now, we have both Testaments tonight. Praise God for that. Romans 15:11 is from Psalm 117:1. Romans 15:12 is from Isaiah 11:10. I just list those for you because this is what he's saying here in verse 4, which is our text verse, that these things that were written aforetime. So, there are treasures in the darkness if we are allowing the Word of God, if we are allowing the Word of God to create patience and comfort in our lives. It's available for you. It's available for me. You know, as I scan the crowd, everybody has a story. I may not know your story. I know many of your stories, especially the ones I've known for a long time, and you know my stories. Okay. But we have one common denominator. We both, if we're saved, and I was just talking to you tonight, it was just me and you, it's me and you having a tea or a coffee, we would both have something in common, more than one thing. We both would have the Spirit of God in us, and we both have access to the Scriptures. So, it is possible that we have patience and that we have comfort. So, the more you get into the Word of God and get it into you, and I get it into me, then the more patience that comes my way. Remember, let's look at life. Let's look at life not through the news channel or the stock market. Let's look at life through the Word of God, and it will help us as we journey. God is so good, God is so faithful, that He would give us His Word, and He would give us the capacity to understand it and to learn it.